Minnesota's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from La Valencia Hotel, courtesy of smartphones tonight. But now it's time. We're with 50,000 watts of power up and down the coast, not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast to Seattle on a good night, out to Riverside in the desert. And time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner. He's a core member of the Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable. He is a family office advisor to several high net worth families and a best selling author, and on and on and on. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am doing great, Joe, and we're going to have to change the intro because we have passed the baton at Star. We have a new leadership team in, and after 4 years, they put me out to pasture.
Oh, okay. Good, that's just one less thing I have to say.
Yeah, it kind of takes up the first 5 minutes to say that. But anyway.
But tonight's a real adventure because we're doing the whole show via cell phones, folks, so this is going to be a new first in radio broadcast history, I think.
Yeah, because I guess our little machine here just burned out.
Yes, well, we're going to get that fixed up. So, but anyway, to start the show, we have the fabulous, the one, the only, the inimitable Tammy Wong, the wine director.
Tammy, keep that wine flowing because we need it tonight. Trust me.
The wine director.
We will not run out of wine. I promise you.
Now, you had a wonderful sold out the pig out the other day. It was a Heavenly Hog pig out, right?
Heavenly Hog pig out. That was last week. It was spectacular. It was fabulous. The dishes were lovely. I had wonderful, I poured really great wine, and we had the beers of Lost Abbey. It was a really great time. We had a great turnout, and all the chefs were so cool. It was just such a pleasure, and I look forward to doing a lot more of those.
Wonderful. Now, you brought us some wonderful wine tonight, so what bottle did you open this evening?
Well, this one is very special, and I'm really excited about it because we started doing staff training seminars, and this week our subject was Pinot Noir, and so I opened a Grand Cru Burgundy, of course, a special treat from our cellar. It was the last one left, so I'd saved it from the captain's list. It's a 2007 Louis Latour Courtone, which is one of the larger Grand Crus in Burgundy, which is the homeland of Pinot Noir, and just a shining example, I really wanted to open something special that would inspire my staff to love wine as much as I do.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sally, there's still a ton of things left for sale on the captain's list, right?
There's a bunch. We're starting to whittle down, but I imagine it will be something that we will continue because we're always going to get to there's one left of this bottle or there's one left of that bottle, and I'd rather take it off the list and put something else on and then just get that one bottle on someone's table at a reduced price. We priced a lot of our wines so they're a little more competitive, and we have brand new wine list, so it's a really exciting time to drink wine here at La Vie, and we're really focused on making this hotel a premier wine drinking destination.
Well, there's no time like the present, and we certainly could use some wine tonight, giving some of the technical snafus. But we'll get through this because we're troopers. We're Americans. We can do this, right, Richard?
And we know how to improvise. We are. What was the Monty Python line? Adapt, adopt, and improve. That's what we're doing.
Okay.
And you will not do so thirsty. I promise.
Tammy, thank you very much. Where are those cakes on the desk there?
Those are cupcakes.
Are you kidding?
Demi, if you're listening, I got your cupcakes.
Oh. Okay.
I got them. They're from Cups, Joe.
We've got the cakes. Wonderful. All right. Tammy, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Please come back next week.
Always.
Always good to see you and the wine bottle. All right. You have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. Wonderful. And let's see, they had the big La Jolla Art and Wine Festival last week. That was like 50,000 people attended that.
That was packed last Saturday. It's a lot quieter tonight. And I noticed the smell was back tonight in La Jolla.
A little bit, yeah. I was reading in the La Jolla Light tonight. So some people say it's gone, some say it's back. I say it's back. but
it was back.
Yeah. They say the simple solution is just putting a gate or opening the fence like it used to be so people can go down there and, visit the rocks to keep the birds from roosting.
Right.
So anyway, hopefully that'll be a solution. So. But tonight we have a very interesting show. We've got two guests in our makeshift studio here at the general manager's office of La Valencia. And one is a good friend of yours. She owns several racing events, and why don't you introduce her, Richard?
Let me introduce both. We're going to be talking about type 2 diabetes tonight and health and fitness. You know, this show is about wealth, but wealth is much, much more than just money. If you don't have health, it's very difficult to have wealth. And I think we would all agree with that. Those of us who have health issues can certainly attest to that firsthand. Mm-hmm. So we have my partner and co-founder of the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, as well as the Oceanside Turkey Trot, Kathy Kinane, with us, along with an author who's written one of the most amazing books out there about type 2 diabetes and the epidemic that this represents and things to do about this.
Was once 220 pounds, right?
Right. Now he looks at about, 170? 155. Holy cow. Aaron Snyder, who wrote The New Diabetes Prescription. So we're going to be talking about health tonight. So lady and gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Hi, Richard. We're happy to be back again tonight. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, and I think Kathy's in the restroom, so she doesn't get this reverberation. You know, we got people. This is hilarious to see. If you're here, you'd be dying of laughter. We have people in corners and so on, so we don't lose our minds with reverberation.
This kind of reminds me of the show we did with Johnny Carson's nephew that night when we were getting
exactly. So, Aaron, quick question. You wrote a book about type 2 diabetes. You've had some interesting experiences with your weight, but before we get into that, can you just tell us who you were or who you are and what you did and how you came to be who you were and what motivated you to
get born and raised and educated where and
to,
all that.
Sort of transform your life in terms of your physical fitness?
I'd be happy to. Well, I started out being an emotional eater by as far back as I can remember. I'm 35 years old, but by the time I was 6 years old, I remember eating, you know, putting pop soda and having fast food four or five times a night because I was, while I wasn't a drug addict, I was very much an emotional eater and food was my drug. I have a lot of drug addiction and alcoholism in my family. And while I never really thought of myself as an addict, I very, very much was and learned to self-medicate at a very early age. There was a lot of abuse, physical, emotional in my life and growing up. So this was one of the ways that I was coping, but it certainly didn't help. I found myself in a special needs physical education. I was held back in school for having dyslexia, not learning to read until I was 9. And I went through periods of being very overweight for my height and then skinny and then overweight again, each time through binge eating. And lo and behold, I finished UC Berkeley. I grew up in Los Angeles, actually where Magic Mountain is, Santa Clarita, and attended UC Berkeley for mathematics. And by the time I graduated, I wasn't just fat. I found out that I was fat and diabetic, type 2 diabetic, not type 1, where, you know, you just have an autoimmune disorder that kills off the part of your pancreas that produces insulin. We're talking about being so overweight that your body is no longer processing insulin and doing a really good job of being a junk food junkie and an emotional eater, so that I wound up with that at the age of 22. As you had mentioned, 5'6", 220 pounds. And it was through my high predisposition genetically for this disease that I actually did something about it at such an early age. You know, my great-grandmother passed it on to my grandfather, passed it on to my mother, my brother has symptoms, I have other family members with symptoms. And so I learned very quickly, I wasn't just another fat kid or grew up to be a fat adult who had diabetes. I very much correlated this with my behavior did this to me. And so at the very beginning, even though that I didn't even know how to cook an egg, I really didn't know that much about exercise. Like I said, I grew up starting in special needs physical education, not knowing how to throw a ball. You still don't want me to throw a ball at you. Be lucky if I don't break a window. But having to completely reverse that was my, what you would call in when you're an alcoholic, you know, you have that breakthrough moment, you know, that rock bottom moment where you realize you have to turn something around. And so I learned about exercise. I learned about the different diets that work and what doesn't work, and I got to the root of my problem, and here I am today, happy to share that information with other people so that they can learn the same in a lot quicker time than it took me.
So what was your diet like when you were 220? I mean, what did, on a typical day, what would you eat?
Oh, that's easy. If you want to be anywhere from 60 to 80 pounds overweight, the easiest thing to do is to solve every problem with food. So that can mean that if you're in a cafeteria and you find out that you have a test that's going to be 100% of your grade, eat an entire pumpkin pie.
Wow.
There's enough to go around. In fact, eat 1.5 pumpkin pies. And if it's Friday night and you need to blow off some steam, have dessert before you go to an authentic Mexican dinner that your friend put on, and then have that dinner and dessert again. So we're talking about doubling down. I remember times, not knowing the symptoms at the time, but I remember being bored in a class and then having a giant rice burrito, then going over to Ben & Jerry's. Nothing against Ben & Jerry's, it's just where I went. Having one sundae and then another and then a brownie.
Wow.
And going home, passing out, waking up, and just thinking that was normal.
Huh.
That's what it takes to be that heavy.
Did you have any bulimia or just overeating disorder?
I never made myself throw up.
Okay.
So, from what I understand, that's being the definition of bulimia. No, I was just a pure binge eater, a pure emotional eater. I dealt with every anxiety with food.
So this was age 21. You graduated Berkeley with honors. What was your major, by the way?
Mathematics.
Mathematics. Okay. All right. Well, what flipped your switch to say, I've got to get control of this and turn my life around?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious. Did you have like one event, or did you just get tired of being this way?
Yeah. What was the pivotal moment, or what inspired you?
The pivotal moment goes back to my family history. I grew up hearing all these horror stories about my diabetic grandfather. He came back from World War II, I guess passed out one day from such high blood sugar. They found out that he was diabetic. That's what it took back then to really figure out that problem.
Wow.
And this is the kind of guy who would just drink extra chocolate soda and take extra insulin. Insulin was the only drug they had for diabetes back then. But he was hell on wheels. I mean, And from what I understand from my aunt and my mom, not a very good father in a lot of ways. I never met him because he died by the time he was 50, blind from kidney failure due to complications of diabetes. But I had this picture of a monster of a man in my mind. And mind you, this is before my mom ever knew I had diabetes. A monster of a man in my mind who basically killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was at 22. You know, I put it together. Yeah. Yeah, I put it together. You know, math is all about understanding the relationships between things. I was lucky enough that even though I was stupid emotionally, I could understand that A caused B, and that was my emotional eating caused my fat gain, caused my diabetes, and that was the rock bottom. It has to stop. You know, and no, I could not stop overnight. You can't, you know.
So it was just a self-directed thing? You didn't leave yourself in the mirror and said, I got to do something right now?
It was never a look in the mirror. It was never a look in the mirror and said, you know, I look like this. I've got a pot belly out to here.
Yeah.
It was more of this seeing this number on a glucose meter.
Yeah.
210 milligrams per deciliter, which is full blown diabetic.
So what program did you get? Did you devise your own program? Did you work with some health professionals to get yourself on a healthy track?
You know, that's a great question. You find out that you're type 2 diabetic, of course, your healthcare practitioner is telling you, you know, that you've got to eat differently, you've got to exercise. You're never going to not get told you have to lose weight and exercise.
Right.
It would be funny if you didn't. Of course, everybody knows that, though. So that's not really, that wasn't an aha for anybody who gets this. Usually you receive some pamphlets, and in my case, I was, I looked at several books on the subject at the time, and they would say things like, if you're going to drink juice, drink fresh juice. If you're going to have bread, have whole fresh bread. I mean, it's kind of like if you're going to kill yourself slowly.
Right.
Just so you know, juice is not a health food.
It's a lot of sugar.
I want to go on the record as saying that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for the 1,000th time, and I'm happy to do it tonight.
A couple ounces of orange juice will go a long way.
Yeah. I'll put it to you this way. I have not had a regular soda, since I found out. That was the one thing I was able to kick.
Oh, let me ask you, were you a big soda drinker?
Huge. Growing up, I was a huge soda drinker.
Yeah, this high fructose problem, I think that's getting a grip on people. So,
I've got stories to tell. I mean, just to segue really quick into that, why can you go to a fast food restaurant for lunch and have a burger, fries, have your soda, refill your soda because it's refills? You just had about 2,000 calories, and about half of that was high fructose corn syrup from the soda. And then be hungry 6 hours later for dinner.
You know, let's pause and digest these thoughts and that happy meal right there. We'll come right back with more of Victory Men in Your Life after this break, so hang on. All right, we're back at La Valencia Hotel, the luxurious space in La Jolla here, with our guests Aaron Snyder and Kathy Kinane and Richard Musio and myself. We're talking about beating type 2 diabetes and health and running and all that other good stuff. So, Richard, shall we get Kathy into the conversation and examine her thoughts?
Yes, but before we do that, a big thank you to Irvin Jacobs and Qualcomm for one of our guests earlier this year. Mr. Jacobs, thanks so much for all that you do to make this show possible when our equipment doesn't work.
Right.
Anyway, Kathy Kinane.
That was back in January, right before the inauguration, to which he attended with his grandchildren, which is
that's correct.
Very nice.
So Kathy Kinane is my partner in the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation and co-founder of the Oceanside Jerky Trot with me. Kathy, welcome. I bet you didn't think it would be like this, right? With cell phones. But tell our listeners, what's the Oceanside Turkey Trot about? What are we going to be doing in downtown Oceanside bright and early on Thanksgiving morning this year?
Well, we have 10,000 runners, walkers, a lot of families. Huge amount of families are going to come out on Thanksgiving morning and move their feet before they eat. We are so excited that the North County community has embraced a lifestyle that includes being active with your family and friends. I think listening to Aaron talk about his struggles with obesity and diabetes, it just, you know, it brings to the world, it's a very real problem. It's really serious. And it's all about lifestyle choices. And he talked about orange juice. You know, one glass of orange juice is like 5 oranges. You know, I don't want everybody to sit down and try and eat 5 oranges. And then you'll have an understanding of what process does to food. It changes it. It makes it really high in calories. And it takes away the fiber and a lot of nutrients that humans need to digest the food. I tell people, when you're making food choices, first choice, did it come out of the ground? And if it didn't come out of the ground, then Christ died. I mean, it was good enough for the cows in the first place, right? The cows eat grass, they eat the vegetables, and then we eat the meat. Well, let's go back to where we eat the vegetables. I think humans feel so much happier when they're eating 5 fruits and vegetables a day, and we just have to do a better marketing campaign. There is no doubt the kids need to understand that it's a better choice when it comes first generation out of the ground.
So when's your next big running event, Kathy? When is that coming up?
Well, next weekend, I do a, it's called the Church of the Pecan up in Huntington Beach. We'll have about 5,000 runners, a 10-mile, a 10K, and a 5K, and it benefits a shelter for women called Project Self-Sufficiency. And we're excited to be up there. We work closely up there with a couple of other running groups in the area, and again, it's a family event. We have a kids' run. With the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, our goal is to get everybody needs to understand that activity is fun. When we were little kids, we used to call it play. I'm not sure what happened to this generation where we just don't play anymore. And so our foundation and the Turkey Trot, we tell people to move your feet before you eat. The foundation is solving the healthcare crisis one step at a time. And we're really excited about people like Aaron write a book about the changes that were made by behavioral changes that he made and how he shared them with his friends and family. That's really the key, is sharing it with everyone.
So, Aaron, when you had your epiphany, did you realize I've got to do diet, exercise, I've got to do all these things, or was it one step at a time in terms of just your diet, or what did you develop for yourself to turn things around?
Well, you know, I knew that exercise was important. I didn't realize in what regard that it was important. In other words, I thought it was going to be almost the end-all, be-all of the entire thing, and I could cut out the junk food, but if I just really hit the weights and really hit the gym, that could be, you know, the solution to my problem. What I didn't realize was just how hard it was going to be to change what it was I was eating. I mean, we're talking about a person who did not know how to cook an egg.
Yeah.
You know, and so I knew how to stand in line and order the number 6 at the fast food joint. I was really good at that. And I knew how to, you know, press for 30 seconds on the microwave. But that was about all I knew how to do. So we're talking about somebody who had no culinary skills, who had to learn how to cook healthy food. And, you know, I make this point a lot, is healthy food should taste great. You know what I mean? And nowadays, I'm blessed that I have a wife who knows how to cook, and I've learned, you know, some basic things. I would call myself a cook. I'd call her a chef. But when you can make a diet out of these whole foods that we've been talking about, you know, we're talking about the fresh fruits, we're talking about the fresh vegetables, the lean proteins, and you can learn how to make that taste great, and you can do that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, your weight problem is going to be solved. And so we're going back to talking about what was my epiphany at the beginning to realize what I really needed to do to lose weight. It was, I did understand that I had to eat differently, but to really cure my emotional eating, to no longer be a person who said, you know what, this happened at work, now I got to do something, I got to respond to it differently. It required more than what I had.
Great. Well, let's hold that thought. We'll get more of your secrets and your solutions when we come back right after New Sports Weather and It's Your Money in Your Life right after this. Hang on.
We are back live from La Valencia with my guest, well, our guest, Aaron Snyder, Kathy Kinane, and our co-host here, Richard Musso. Richard, it's time to thank our wonderful sponsors, isn't it?
Thank you, sponsors. Lovely La V. Couldn't do it without you guys. The Brussels sprouts are incredible for dinner tonight, weren't they, Kathy?
They were excellent.
I thought so, too. UBS with Mr. Michael Carranza and Drew Freese. We got our big Art San Diego coming up in early November. More about that in future shows. Next week's guest, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal, San Diego's best estate planning attorney. My favorite business bankers on the planet, Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett with Regions Bank. My dear friend, Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. No, Joel is not a new father like we stated on last week's show. I was just talking too fast. But Joel helps real estate owners improve their cash flow with cost segregation services. Our new father, well, new this year, Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, San Diego's best CFO company. Jason also has got a new client who was actually listening to our radio show. I always thought that people would just listen to the podcast. I didn't think anybody listened live anymore, but a lot of people do. Well, over 5,000 per show for us. Jason got a new client because of it. Carl Sheeler, I have to make sure I give his correct new business name since he just did a merger into a very large and prestigious research group in Century City, now known as Berkeley Research Group. But Carl is still doing a great job of doing business valuations for companies, helping business owners improve the values of their businesses. And last but not least, our favorite CPAs on the planet who barely survived October 15th and hopefully weren't binge eating while they were doing it because of the stress, because I suspect there was a lot of stress. That would be Polito Epic, CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic, and Paul Polito. Thanks, everybody. Joe, how can our wonderful listeners find out about our amazing sponsor?
Well, if they fire up their smartphone like we have tonight, or go to their computer or whatever they're using to get online, and go to iymoney.com and click on the sponsors link, and all of their information is there, contact information, professional background information, everything else. And then you've worked with all these folks 30 years or more, right, Richard? So they're all...
Well, some of them 20 years or more. I'm old, but not that old.
But, I mean, we vouch for their professionalism, and they're all tops in their field, so we're honored to have them.
These are the best west of the Mississippi, we like to say.
Absolutely.
Hey, Aaron, we've just been shouting out websites and stuff. How do people get a hold of you and find out about your book?
If you want to get a hold of me on my website, you can go to newdiabetesrx.com, and you can contact me at aaron@newdiabetesrx.com. My book is available on amazon.com and Barnes & Noble, and a Kindle and paperback.
Perfect.
Do better than that. Just like you, Richard.
Just like me. And Kathy Kinane, how can people track you down in the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation and learn more about the amazing Oceanside Turkey Trot? By the way, the Turkey Trot, people need to come out and see this because I run the 5-miler for Sirius at 7 in the morning, and then at 8:30 in the morning, I run the 5K wearing a 9-pound turkey costume. It's worth $35 just to see that. And then you can say, what? I'm going to do business with this turkey?
And this anyway, is awesome. And this is all on Thanksgiving morning.
Thanksgiving morning, downtown Oceanside.
How many years now for this?
This is our eighth year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Kathy, how do people find out?
You can go to our website at osideturkeytrot.com and get information about the race. And if you go to kinaneevents.com, kinaneevents.com, you can find out about other weekend events. There are a lot of fun to do with your family.
And the cool thing about this, you've got a 5-mile run and a walk, or an open 5K run or a walk, or the kids 1-mile or a quarter-mile races. And that's probably one of the most popular events for the kids, right, Richard?
It is so funny to watch the 3- and 4-year-olds do the quarter-miler because I'll be in my church costume, and I'm usually holding the finish line banner with, like, you know, Miss Oceanside or somebody. And some of the little kids, they'll come sprinting up to the finish line tape, but they don't know if they should run through it and break it. Some of them will just stop there and stare at it. It's hilarious to see. These kids are just amazing.
Have you traumatized any of these kids with your big turkey costume or what?
No, but last year a kid came up to me and said, "Hey, mister, do the chicken dance." I said,
"Yeah." Well, we had a famous
school, huh?
We had a famous chicken, now we got a famous turkey. So
yeah.
There you go.
I took over. Yeah, Ted Giannoulis was the chicken, and now I'm the turkey.
What came first, the chicken or the turkey?
But Kathy, one of the coolest things I think about the turkey trot, especially what we call the people's race, the 5K at 8:30, you'll see like three generations of family members starting up their Thanksgiving morning tradition, just jogging or walking together, won't you?
You'll see many intergenerational families. I just got an email from a guy who's coming from Australia, and he has other members that are coming from Europe, and they're all getting together, and they're going to rent one of those big vacation homes in Oceanside and then go run the turkey trot. And this year, almost 25% of the people are running both the 5 mile and the 5K so they can make room for lots of pumpkin pie afterward.
That's great. Aaron, did you transition to any running? Was that part of your regimen, or what was your exercise regimen when you first started out?
When I first started out, I tried the elliptical trainer, which was my former cardiovascular exercise, just because I enjoyed it. Uh-huh. And this was at a time when we had CD players. We didn't have these little iPods, so it was a lot easier to listen on a CD player on an elliptical trainer where the legs are not causing you to bounce as opposed to running. And from there, I transitioned into weights. And that's been my love ever since. I got certified as a personal trainer, and I used to compete as a power lifter, and now I just did.
Now, you must have worked with a trainer. You just go into the gym and start this on your own. Did you talk to some? No?
No. I read a lot of books. I made a lot of mess ups. I had a body that was very fortunate enough to forgive me. I never rounded my back, knock on wood, didn't have any hard nosed injuries, and I was a very smart starting out in that I always used proper form. And when I was lifting weights, they tell you to make as many push muscles as you do pull muscles. Like you do a bench press, you do a row as well, so you don't mess up your shoulders. And I did that from the start. And here I am years later, and no serious injuries, just a few minor dings, and I'm going.
I got into the elliptical. I did lose 15 pounds in elliptical trainer, but I developed plantar fasciitis. And, people.
Put it in your shoes, Joe.
Well, whatever it was, I developed it. And it took a long time to get rid of it. But you have to kind of know your limits. And if something is causing pain, you need to try something else or.
But Kathy, comment on this. When I started taking up running, I had gained about 50 pounds because I was blind for about a year and I couldn't exercise. So when I came out of that experience, about 8 eye surgeries later, I was about 230-something pounds. And so I just started jogging for 5 minutes very slowly and then walking for 5 minutes very slowly, 5 and 5 minute, turn around and come home and do the same thing. So I took it really, really easy. Now, Kathy, I know one of the things about the Oceanside Turkey Trot, we have a lot of groups and a lot of people who get together and just run together and train on their own. And it goes from people who are great runners, fast runners, all the way to people who barely can jog at all because this is a new experience, but it's healthy for everybody.
Well, one of the things we offer with the program, Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation, and the trot, we have an 8-week training program, and it starts out just like you're talking about. You can just download it off your website. Starts out at running for 30 seconds, walking for 30 seconds, and getting you up to running continuously for 8 minutes. And then you're able to come into a 5K and have a pretty pleasurable experience. And Joe, I have to agree with Richard. There's a really good chance that it was bad shoes that didn't fit you. And also, a lot of things people don't know about ellipticals, they come in all different sizes.
Mm.
And so if you have a short stride, you need to make sure that it's an elliptical, it's adjustable, so that you can be comfortable on it.
Yeah, I don't think this one was. And so should you be using running shoes on that or regular tennis shoes?
You would use running shoes, but plantar fasciitis comes from a couple of different things. But yes, shoes that are too small. That's number one usually, and then people who increase too much too quick. I'd say at least 80% of injuries come from that, where people are too excited. Like people come to me and they say, "Well, you're a running club." I go, "No, we're kind of like an anti-aging program because we put as much emphasis on rest and recovery as we do on the exercise because the muscles need the oxygen. You run them, you build up some lactic acid. You stop, you walk, you clean out the lactic acid, and then you run some more. And if you use a running and recovery program, you're going to get a lot better results overall with your fitness.
You're absolutely right, because when I first moved out here from the Midwest in the late 70s, I saw people, I was going to work at like 6:30, and I see people out running. I go, I never saw anyone do that in Chicago. This is really crazy.
Well, unless they're being chased by somebody who's gone.
But So I had regular gym shoes. I said, I'm going to do this. I go out, don't even warm up. I start doing wind sprints. And
oh, yes, that would do it.
My Achilles tendons took me another year to cure my Achilles. But I'll tell you what helped, walking in the ocean and dragging my legs like a thoroughbred. So not that I'm a thoroughbred, but that's the only thing that seemed. But I'm telling you, I suffered probably a year. That's a very, you know, Achilles tendonitis is really difficult to cure. So, I mean, it takes a long time.
Well, Joe, your natural instincts of, like you said, like the thoroughbreds going in the ocean, I can tell you that's my number one recommendation. After you go for a run is to walk in the ocean. You'll find that you'll heal very quickly. It's fabulous. With our running group, we run on Saturdays. We walk in the ocean afterwards.
Well, the cold salt water, that's curative, huh?
What it does is it makes your blood vessels constrict and expand, and so it helps flush out all the lactic acid. And so then your muscles are happy. The oxygen can get in there a lot easier because it doesn't have to be breaking down the lactic acid.
No.
So that's why walking in the ocean is absolutely fantastic, and the salt water is wonderful, and the massaging action of the waves, it's excellent.
So get out in that water, folks, and have yourself a good flush. And with that, let's take a break. We'll come right back with more It's Your Money in Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back in the home stretch of It's Your Money in Your Life with our guests Kathy Kinane and Aaron Snyder talking about how to beat type 2 diabetes. And Richard, where would you like to take it now in the home stretch here?
Aaron, so you've written a great book, The New Diabetes Prescription. How far through your process of losing weight, getting healthier, did the idea of writing a book start coming to you? Was this fairly recent, or was it somewhere earlier during the sequence of things that you were going through to get better?
Well, you know, once I had initially lost enough of the weight for a couple of years, I was probably around 30 at the time, and it's like, it's not coming back. You know, I've got this down. How do I know I've got this down? Because I like my diet. I like my food. I don't feel deprived anymore. I'm not binge eating anymore. You know, I have a treat now and then, but it's not emotionally driven. And I thought back to all the horrible advice that I had at the beginning and how long it took me of a cycle of gain the weight, lose it, gain the weight, lose it. Why? Because inside my mindset is just off. I don't know how to get off this drug that is food. I realized, you know, I want other people to go through this a lot faster than it took me. And there was no information like what I had out there, you know, what I've actually put in this book, you know, about the dirty secret of diabetes, which is it was our emotional eating that got us here. You know, you're not going to find any type 2 diabetics who just finished a marathon. You know, how do you gain 100 pounds or be 150 pounds, 200 pounds overweight? You don't just do that overnight. It's a lifestyle of not exercising, of overeating, and overeating the wrong foods and ignoring that. So, you know, a lot of my book is dedicated to all the different types of, you know, stress eating, binge eating, emotional eating, all that stress, all that anxiety that causes you to want to eat the wrong foods and how to get off that and then what to do once you're able to.
So what would be the first one, two, or three steps? Let's say I'm overweight by 140 pounds and I meet you and I say, I've got Aaron, I want to turn this around. What are the first one, two, three things that I should do?
It's going to be one thing. And what it's going to be is we're going to identify, like you're working with me or if you're going through my book or you're going through my website, you know you got to lose weight, and you know that your diet's horrible, and you know you got to exercise, and you've tried that 100 times before, and you failed at it 100 times before. So we're going to do a different approach, and I'll just start it off with a study that was done out of by Kaiser, which looked at health changes, habitual health changes, and they looked at what if you just try to change one thing, whatever in your mind encompasses one change, if you stick to it, you've got about a 90% chance of success.
So maybe it's just cutting out all the sodas in your life. Maybe that's one.
That's a good start. And just I'll segue right into that. But if you try and go up to, let's say, three or five changes, the percentage of your probability to be successful drops and drops and drops. Okay, soda. A lot of people who are 150 pounds, maybe they're drinking 12 sodas a day. It doesn't matter. But let's say it's 12 because there's plenty out there. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to say cut out the soda because you know you need to do that. You do. I'm going to say, all right, for the next 30 days, how many fewer sodas are you willing to drink? You might tell me, you know what, I can do 8. And I'll say, fine, for the next 30 days, you're going to promise to yourself, we call this a self-help promise, that you're only going to drink 8 sodas a day. Now, Do I think you should drink 8 sodas a day? No, I think it's atrocious. I actually haven't had a single soda, a single regular soda, since I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. But if 8's the number, fine, 8's the number. And let's say you stick to that 90% of the time, i.e. 27 out of the next 30 days. I'm going to come back to you and say, now what? How many fewer sodas are you willing to drink? Let's say the answer is 4, and you can see where this is going. I'm going to keep working with you to systematically get you off one of the most addicting substances in your body that's legal for, you know, people under the age of 18. And from there, we're going to start branching off into other aspects of your life. But the idea is we identify the biggest reason that you are overweight. And in this case, it's just that you're a junk food junkie, and specifically it's that you're a soda drinker. Now, it might be that it might be your fast food binge. It might be that you eat too many, you know, caffeinated drinks at your favorite coffee shop that are filled with the mochas and the caramels. But in this case, we identified that it was the sugary sodas that were your problem. From there, we systematically wean you off them. You held yourself accountable to this. Then we go from there. What's your next biggest problem? And you know what's happening? The person is not only motivated because they're starting to find themselves losing weight, because when you're no longer ingesting a good 1,500 calories of processed sugar that makes you want to eat more, you're automatically finding your appetite less and your cravings for other junk foods are less. You're going to want to start exercising. I've actually found that happen a lot where I didn't even have to tell the person to start. They say, you know, I started walking. You know, I've been able to do that 3 or 4 times.
And what do you think of forks over knives and plant-based diets and all that? Has that been a big benefit to a lot of people as opposed to, you know, getting off of red meat and all those other things?
Yeah. You know, I tell people that any diet that you can follow long-term that helps you lose weight is a diet that's going to work. Now, typically, those tend to be foods that, you know, you were talking about fresh fruits, we're talking about lean vegetables, we're talking about the whole grains, we're talking about the nuts, we're talking about the seed. You know, you can do, I'm okay with people as long as they're not allergic to dairy, you know, but I'm doing Greek yogurt or if it's low-carb yogurt. You know, some people do red meat, some people do poultry. I'm fine with all that. What I'm not fine with are the refined flours, the high fructose corn syrup. If I could wipe those off the face of the planet, I would, because they make you want to eat more. And one of the biggest things that everybody who goes on any diet needs to figure out is this. Pay attention to what you want to eat 3 to 4 hours after your meal. Because a real diet that has self-limiting foods in it, foods that were on this earth 150 years ago, you don't want to eat and eat and eat. So if you're following a diet that keeps your appetite suppressed and doesn't increase your cravings, that you find you have energy on and that you're losing weight on, and yeah, it does include all those foods that were 150 years old or older.
Yeah, you look at the gorillas and apes, they're vegetarian and they're pretty damn strong. So, you know. That's pretty. You don't really need to eat meat to have strength, apparently. So,
but Aaron, there's a lot of misinformation out there as well as a lot of quick programs. Take this pill, drink this drink, and you can be. What do you think about those things?
I hate them. The Master Cleanse. That's crazy. You're drinking. If you look at the amount, it's just people who don't know what the Master Cleanse is. I think it's cayenne pepper. It has to be grade B maple syrup because. Who knows why, and lemon juice. And if you take in, I think you wind up taking in 2 cups of sugar per day on this crash diet. And people seem to think that that's going to do something to help you lose weight, to retain muscle mass. It's insane. And it goes against, can you follow this for the long term? You can't. Could you teach it to your kids, to be healthy? You can't.
I'm a big fan of green tea. They say that might help with the weight loss. What do you think of that?
I love green tea. It contains a polyphenol known as epigallocatechingelate. I try and say that 10 times fast.
That's the biggest word ever used on our radio show.
ECGC. Epigallocatechingelate. It rolls off your tongue after you've written about it for a couple.
And the L-theanine is good, too.
Yeah, and the L-theanine, which is an amino acid found in green tea. But basically, it's basically a natural Xanax. You know, I never have problems falling asleep because I take L-theanine and some melatonin, and I'm out. I highly recommend green tea. I think it's the best fat burner out there.
Yeah. But anyway, Aaron, we've got to kind of wrap it up right there because we're off.
One more time, Joe. Go ahead.
OsideTurkeyTrot.com. Get out there for the 8th. You know, you could walk a mile or 3 miles or whatever, folks. Do that. Kathy Kinane, thank you very much. KinaneEvents.com. NewDiabetesRx.com. Thank you so much. And thank you to Justin Hart, our gene. He's the programming genius tonight in the booth. And thanks to Craig Blanke, our account executive, and thanks to Dave Sniff, who we will have a
We'll talk to you tomorrow, Dave.
Boys, we need some equipment repair. We need some equipment repair. Help.
But, hey, we made it work, and thanks to the cell phone industry tonight. We're-